time for Sweet Home Cannabama, a show that'll answer all your questions, provide accurate information, and dispel the myths of cannabis. And have your specific questions answered by emailing jennifer@cannabama.com or text or call 343-0106. And now, for all things cannabis in Alabama, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Jennifer Boozer Stewart, your host, former owner of Cannabama in downtown Mobile. We were located at 558 St. Francis Street, and this week we moved out, thanks to HB 445. You could still reach us at 251-255-5155. For the time being, we are still taking calls, trying to help people where we can. The biggest question we keep getting is, where else can I go? And I'm naming off as many shops as I can that I know that are still open. But the problem is most people are either sold out or have very little left. So you can still call us, 251-255-5155. We will answer as long as we can. You can find us at cannabama.com for the time being. And our social media, of course, is Sweet Home Cannabama. And you can listen to us every Monday night right here on FM Talk 106.5, as long as we can. I want to go ahead and get into some current events. We have a very important guest tonight that I have been waiting a while to be able to interview, and I want to get this press release read. This is an important distinction about what happened the day the TRO was denied. The HB 445 hearing was a win and a wake-up call when four Alabama hemp businesses stood before a Montgomery judge on June 30th to ask for emergency relief from HB 445, many expected a typical legal skirmish. What happened instead was a turning point, a public reckoning with a law that threatens small businesses, personal liberty, and Alabama's reputation for fair governance. Yes, the temporary restraining order was denied, but don't mistake that for defeat. The judge's narrow ruling was based on shipping logistics, not the broader constitutional arguments at the heart of the lawsuit. That fight is still ahead. In the meantime, plaintiffs exposed the deep cracks in HB 445's foundation and forced the public and press to pay attention. This wasn't just a courtroom moment. It was a community stand. The plaintiffs, ranging from veteran-owned companies to family-owned shops, aren't shadowy out-of-state operators. They are Alabamians, neighbors, job creators. They built businesses around products that are federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Now HB 445 threatens to criminalize those same operations overnight, with penalties harsher than those for fentanyl distribution. How is that justice? And let's be clear, this law does not just ban products. It bans livelihoods. It creates felons out of entrepreneurs. It hands unchecked power to the ABC board while ignoring science, precedent, and basic fairness. That's not regulation, that's overreach. The hearing gave voice to those harmed. Business owners testified about having to lay off workers, close stores, or cancel contracts. One disabled veteran shared how hemp helped him wean off opioids, only to now face criminal charges for using what he once legally bought at a licensed Alabama store. These are real people, and HB 445 has real consequences. To lawmakers who champion this bill, take note. The people are watching, the courts are listening, and the pressure is growing. This hearing was your early warning, an opportunity to course correct before this law spirals into a full-blown legal and economic disaster. You still have time to amend or repeal HB 445, but if you don't, you may soon find yourselves answering not only to voters but to higher courts. Let this moment stand as a reminder, when Alabamians are pushed to the brink, they don't back down, they lawyer up. The legal battle has just begun, but the plaintiffs have already won something priceless, public momentum. The tide is turning. And to that, I say roll tide. Representative Witt was on the Dale Jackson show a few days ago, and he said, among other things that aren't worth repeating, that he hadn't heard of any stores closing. Meanwhile, Cannabama has been closed for 2 weeks. And I know several others who are on the way out now are closing some locations, but hanging on as much as possible. Mountaintop Dispensary closed 5 locations in the Huntsville area alone and has to move his processing business out of state to survive. Bradley Haddon sales at Top Shelf Alternatives in Opelika went from $127,000 in sales in June to less than $7,000 in the first 2 weeks of July. Mine went to zero. Others like Freedom CBD in Tuscaloosa are making $200 a day, which is a fraction of normal, and no business can withstand that for even a month. Contrast that with disreputable shops who are still selling flower openly in multiple cities. No one has been arrested or seized on, and the Gulf Shores Police Department actually hung up on someone trying to report the illegal sale of flower to the public. So tell me again how this was supposed to stop bad actors and not hurt good ones. I do find it personally pretty insulting, the press tour that Representative Witt seems to have gone on lately. I can't open up my phone without seeing him talking to someone, and he is downplaying this drastically, you know, and keeps claiming this was for bad actors. This shouldn't hurt any good shops, and if people need medicine, they can still get it. He has zero concept of, either he has zero concept of what he's done, or he doesn't want to know, and he just wants the win. He's been pretty smug, if you ask me. And since I don't have anything left to lose, I'm not going to mince my words. I do think that the only real recourse that we have outside of the courtroom, though, like I said last week, is to remember these people's names when voting. Almost everyone is up for election in 2026, from the governor down. Everybody, I don't know. I think I see people playing musical chairs in the Republican Party. It's interesting because everybody that's got an open seat is running for something different, and they're terming out, so they're running for this over here or making sure their protege gets put in their place. I think it's past time for the people of Alabama to get so angry. Get off of Facebook, though. Get off of Facebook. Oh, my God, nobody's listening on Facebook. If they were, none of this would have happened. You have to register to vote. You have to figure out who to vote for and who to vote against. And we need people to run. I cannot emphasize this enough. Even if you don't have hundreds of thousands of dollars to run, just put somebody's name on these ballots. Senator Melson ran unopposed in 2022, and look what that got us. Who knows what might have happened if he hadn't won, if someone had run against him who had integrity, someone who couldn't be bought, someone who didn't own a clinic that tests anesthesia and opioids, but also wants to be the purveyor of medical cannabis and the rules in this state. There's so much corruption from the Attorney General's office on down. I really don't care who knows what I say and how I say it. It is true. And we have to get sick of it, sick enough to get up and do something. It's now or never, literally. They have taken this product that so many people rely on, and they are laughing in our faces. I am fielding phone calls day and night from people who don't know where to turn. I had a lady with psoriatic arthritis in her hand so bad she didn't know what to do, and I couldn't help her. I have to explain this to people over and over and over about why I can no longer help them for the first time in 7 years, and it makes me sick, and it's wrong. It's just wrong, and there has to be something we can do. I know that the court system is in play, and that stuff can take forever, and we know that the state's going to delay it as much as they can, and they have unlimited resources. We do not. So if you want to donate to the litigation fund, you can do that at Alabama Wellness Collective. You can donate it to whatever stores may still be open trying to hang on for dear life. I know so many of my friends are literally depressed and weeping, and we're comparing our stories because none of us wanted this, none of us deserved this, and none of us asked for it, and we are left to pick up the pieces. And it's not just about small businesses. It's about the thousands of people that come in our businesses every single day, 40, 50, 60 people a day, 7 days a week. For me, 7 years. My 7-year anniversary would be in 2 weeks. And we've been closed for 2 weeks. So go do your research. Listen to people like our guests coming up in just a few minutes. We're going to be talking with Dr. Deidre Willis. She's a dedicated farmer, educator, and advocate for Alabama's agricultural community. As the owner of the Bougie Farmer, she combines hands-on farming experience with a passion for empowering small farmers, expanding access to agribusiness education, and building resilient local food systems while advanced training in construction management and land development. Dr. Willis understands the challenges of rural development and infrastructure. She has worked extensively to connect underserved communities to opportunities in agriculture, championing youth engagement, sustainability, and innovation. She is now running for Ag Commissioner. When we come back, we're going to meet Dr. Deidre Willis. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back, everybody. I was just starting to introduce our guest for tonight, Dr. Deidre Willis. She's now running for the Commissioner of Agriculture and Industries. Dr. Willis is committed to modernizing Alabama's agricultural policies, supporting responsible hemp and cannabis regulation, and ensuring the department serves all farmers and citizens with transparency and respect. What a novel concept. Welcome to the show, Dr. Deidre.
Thank you.
I'm so excited to have you. I found out about you, and I could not wait to speak to you. So thank you, first of all, for taking me seriously. And thank you again for coming to the hemp rally in Birmingham on the 20th. It was very good for our morale to see that people running for state government positions actually care enough to be seen with us.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, so let's get into it. Tell us a little bit about your background and why you want to run for the Ag Commissioner.
Okay, my background, I'm a veteran teacher, retired teacher, 25 years. I have a farm in Coy, Alabama. And I end up teaching farmers there how to register for FSA. They didn't know anything about grants. And then we looked on the Ag. They didn't qualify for anything on the website for commissioner. So that piqued my interest.
Right.
And so about a year, I just went through and just studied and helped farmers as much as I could through USDA. So now it's just time for us to get on the ball.
Right. Because, I mean, farming, even knowing as many hemp farmers and cannabis farmers as I do, still a major disconnect for me. I am a city girl. I was raised in New Orleans, and I've lived in Mobile for 20-something years, and we don't farm in Mobile, you know? So I don't really like when grass touches my ankles, but I'm a big fan of things that are farmed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So what made you decide that you needed to run for Ag Commissioner? I know my experience and being part of the hemp industry, my friends who do grow and process, our experience with the current Ag Commissioner has been that he has no interest in also regulating and issuing retailers' licenses. I tried to get that going in 2019, and they basically laughed me out of there. And he has not wanted to take us on. And so the ABC board kind of got stuck with us because they were the only other thing that people can ever think to associate. I don't know why people compare what we do to alcohol. It is not even remotely the same thing or the same type of situation. But apparently the state of Alabama deems hemp way more dangerous than even fentanyl, which, again, makes no sense. So, you know, what made you decide that this was the job for you?
Well, let's look at one thing. One thing I'm thinking about is expanding education and workforce development in agribusiness, especially for our youth and underserved communities. Well, with agriculture changing rapidly with new technology, markets, and environment challenges, our workforce needs to change.
Right.
I want to make sure Alabama is prepared by investing in real education and workforce development, especially in rural and underserved communities.
Yes, there's a lot of food insecurity in rural parts of Alabama. I have traveled through some recently and seen whole areas of the state where there's a couple of Dollar Generals and nothing else. And that's all people have to choose from without having to drive 30, 45 minutes away. And I'm sure, You know, I mean, what all kids want to do these days is be a TikTok influencer. You know, our trades are in desperate need of people to do things like electrician work and plumbing and welding and things that are so vital to building our communities. And there's a shortage in all of those trades. So I can imagine farming is really dying in this country. I just saw a report about beef, people raising beef, and how few head of cattle there are compared to the population of the United States. It's a huge problem.
It's a huge problem. So as commissioner, what I want to do is prioritize partnerships with K-12 schools, community colleges, HBCUs, and vocational programs to be a strong agricultural career path. Right now, thank the God, the Bougie Farmer is now in Huntsville City Schools. So we're starting with a Title I school to try to introduce kids. Some kids have been introduced because I meet them in the summertime and do a project with them, but I want to introduce to the school system to show them why it's important. Therefore, we're building hands-on farming programs, introducing them, internships with local producers, and mentorship opportunities so students see agriculture as an old-fashioned, but as a field full of innovation, entrepreneurship, and impact. So that's important to me, just to make sure that they are involved and get them to focus on adults. Workforce development, because we need people working.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Those want to start their own agribusiness. So that's what one thing.
You definitely are a teacher. My mom was a Title I teacher in Louisiana for 30 years. And this is so up. She actually bought a farm just a few months ago in Louisiana. It's so funny. Because, you know, I think it is normalizing being able to do something with your own hands. I think growing your own food, I mean, that's an incredible thing. I know I tried and failed many, many times to grow tomatoes, but man, it was exciting to see those plants go from seeds to something tangible and watch them grow. I'm sure that for kids, especially the fact that they live on screens, to be able to do something in the dirt with their hands and see these seeds grow and be able to produce something that they can then eat themselves. And that's incredibly empowering, educational, and it's exciting to me.
Yes, it is. My grandbabies love it.
I bet.
We have them in a garden, and then she has a little plow. So we just found everything, and they love it.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just nice to do it. And another thing is strengthening local food systems and farmers markets to boost food security and local economies, because you know it's a problem right now.
It is. And you know, with all the uncertainty, you know, I mean, who even knows? You hear one thing, you hear 10 things about the budget cuts that are going on federally, who may be affected, who won't be, you know, and then the whole no sugary drinks and things with SNAP benefits, which I don't believe, you know, anybody should be giving their kids sugar, but I do, I've done it too. And, but being able to teach people how to grow good, nutritious food, I mean, mm-hmm. half the food you get out here in the world doesn't even taste like real food anymore. It's kind of scary.
Well, it's been scary since COVID.
Right.
And with COVID, where I just hyped everything up, okay, we're going to get this farm bigger now. So that's just one thing. So with local food, it's about more than taste and nutrition. It's about resilience and prosperity.
Right.
When we support local farmer markets, farmer school programs, and direct to consumer, we keep money circulating.
Right.
So that's one thing you got to look at, too. It's money for everyone.
Right.
And it creates jobs.
Yes, it does.
Make sure people have access to fresh, healthy food.
Right. And work too, like you said, meaningful work.
Meaningful
I'm the weirdo that wants the work that I do to have meaning, to have purpose, to be able to see the effect of it on my community. And that's partly what makes this so soul crushing with what's going on with hemp, is that I'm no longer being allowed to do that, but being able to give people the ability to not only do some work that's worthwhile, but provide for their own children, their own household, and their own communities, so that the people in their own community who are elderly or who may be disabled or who may be you know, underserved in some way and cannot help themselves, being able to give the general population the ability to serve each other, I think, yeah, is just as important as being able to grow your own food to sustain yourself. That sustains your soul, you know, that sustains your mental health and your sense of community. And I think we've sort of gotten away from that in this digital age, but people have to have food. It's a fact of life. And I think it's a great way to reconnect as a community to be able to, again, feed ourselves, but then feed others who cannot feed themselves. There will always be people who are who have less than, who are weaker or sicker and can't do for themselves. And those are the people that we want to make sure that we're also watching out for. This is love thy neighbor on a very, very basic level. Would you agree?
I agree, but it's also our purpose. It's my purpose.
Yes.
And I didn't know my purpose. It took me a while. But
right.
Once I felt comfortable and was at peace, I knew this was my purpose, is to help the farmers.
Right. I think, well, and Alabama is a farming state. I mean, you know, we've got Delta soil here. We have more warm months than a lot of the states around us. We have the ability to grow food longer and better than a lot of places. I mean, look at the desert and the mountains where you really can't do that. We have an amazing opportunity here in Alabama to utilize what God has given us.
That's right. That's right. One thing I want is departments to play an active role in helping small producers connect with buyers and develop value-added products. That includes supporting cooperatives, and help farmers pool resources for marketing and distribution, expanding grant opportunities on on-farm processing, and cutting red tape that keeps local food business from growing.
Yeah.
So I think all this is important because we focus so much on a big corporation, they forget about the small ones, and we're the ones who put money back into the economy.
Right, right. The big corporations that come in and buy up all the farmland, they're putting all their money somewhere else. And when you have locally owned family farms or collectives like that, community farms, the money, the food, the work, the skill, the pride, every bit of it, the charity even, stays in that community. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk more with Dr. Deidre Willis for Ag Commission. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back, everybody. Tonight we're talking with Dr. Deidre Willis, who is running for Ag Commissioner here in Alabama. Dr. Deidre, we were talking before about expanding education and workforce development. You know, we talked about strengthening local food systems and farmers markets. I know farmers markets are pretty popular. I know there's a couple here in Mobile and in Baldwin County. I know I just recently moved to Summerdale, and I passed a couple of fruit stand-type places on the way on 59. And so I know that there are some, but probably not as many as we could use around here, especially in rural communities. Do you find that farmers markets are more like a popular hangout type thing that people do in the cities and not as much in rural communities, or are they prevalent in rural communities as well?
Well, honestly, here in Huntsville, which we are more of an urban,
right?
But we have big pop-ups all the time, and I like it both ways. I'm seeing where in the rural is slowing down a little bit, but at the same time, they're the one that's bringing it to the big, to our farmers market.
That's true.
So I just say by investing in local food systems, we strengthen our rural economies, reduce dependence on long supply chains vulnerable to destruction, and
yeah,
improve food security in both the urban and the rural communities. So I love it. I mean, I push it. If I see somebody
right
with a yard, we find something for you to do in a yard.
Right, right. Well, I'm sure that, you know, even if more of the farmers markets are in cities. I mean, like I said, I'm a city girl. So I don't know where to go to get fresh fruit, and I ain't getting it at the Walmart. That's nasty. So,
our Walmart here actually buys from the farmer.
Really?
Our Walmart, Kroger, Piggly Wiggly.
Nice.
They actually have local farmers, vendors.
Yeah.
So
that's good. I mean, I don't understand why they would ship it in from another country or another state if it's something that's grown, you know, relatively close by. I think that is kind of crazy. And it's usually not nearly as good a quality as something you can get on the side of the road. I mean, a watermelon from the back of a pickup truck on a 100-degree day is your best bet, in my opinion and my experience.
Yes.
Yeah, and they actually still have seeds in them and everything. And I guess it in order for the rural community to bring that to the cities in these farmers markets, it is getting money back to those rural communities, because those are family owned farms and businesses out in those smaller communities, bringing it to the masses, which obviously we need that around here. You know, I know in Mobile, we do Art Walk and all these different things. There's a farmer's market like every Saturday. Sometimes they do a special one, and they're all over the city. There's the flea market and, like I said, the side of the road places. So there is, there's not really a shortage of fresh food available here in the cities. And I'm wondering, like I said, I was up in the Carbon Hill I-22 area. There was two Dollar Generals in like a 25-mile radius, and that was it. You know, and there's not even any fast food in a lot of places. There's nothing unless you're cooking it at home. And a lot of these people are probably even either having to travel or grow it themselves.
Right. Most of the time you can catch them, like you said, on the side of the road, because I've traveled through Scottsboro and what's the other one? Had the snow on the hill. The fake snow.
Oh. I don't know. I haven't been up there in a while. I'm coming up there to see you this weekend, though.
yes. But I catch them on early Saturday mornings when I'm traveling to the different counties.
Yes.
And they're on the side of the road in their truck by a gas station, and sometimes when you're unexpected, you might better be careful on the side of the road, because they're right there trying to pass us some vegetables, and those are the best ones.
Right, yeah. And then down here by the Gulf, we even have seafood you can get like that out of the back of a pickup truck on the side of the road, you know, but that's good price shrimp fresh out of the Gulf, you know. So how big is farming in Alabama? I mean, are there big bigger farms that are supplying a significant amount of food to the state, or is that kind of in the past?
I want to say, if I can remember the data, it's like 40%. We have a lot of farmers here that actually give to us. We look here before we go outside.
Right.
So we have a pretty high amount of farmers here.
Yeah.
And like here we have the S&J Farms. I know they distribute to most of the grocers, the Krogers, mm-hmm. throughout Alabama.
Yeah.
So one thing about it, Alabama try to keep their products here.
Yeah.
And then they ship out. So we use that first.
Yeah, I know everybody. I've never met anybody that didn't like a Chilton County peach, you know?
That's right.
When I was pregnant with my daughter, I used to be ready to about box my 5-year-old over the last Chilton County peach, because I had all three of my kids in the summer, and they were fresh and ripe and down the street at the fruit stand. And I would get a whole basket, and we'd get down to that last peach, and I'd be looking at him like, "You're cute, but you ain't getting this peach, boy."
And see, we use those peaches, and also Mama had me make a peach preserve.
Oh, wow, so, yeah. Oh, but there's nothing better than a fresh, ripe Chilton County peach. I've never in my life had a peach that even compares.
You can't pass that big peach and not stop and get one.
There you go, yes. Well, so let's get into a little bit of hemp. I know that you and I have talked extensively about hemp, and, you know, the Agriculture Commission is in charge of licensing for growers and processors, but there has never been a retailer's license until now. Not for lack of trying. But from what we've always been told, every legislator I spoke to, every lobbyist, everybody who's ever had anything to do with this program says that the Ag Commissioner does not want to deal with, I think is usually what they say, that he doesn't want to deal with retailers' licenses or finished goods. That makes no sense to me to split an industry into two different regulatory boards that are so completely different, you know, and hemp is an agricultural commodity per the federal government. It is not considered a controlled substance. It is used for many, many things besides human consumption and animal consumption. It's used for things like bedding. Seeds are used for food. You can make, you know, all sorts of things. Anything made out of wood, cotton, or petroleum can be made from the hemp plant. And that's mm-hmm. incredibly important, especially when it comes to sustainable housing and things that are just really getting to be well known and we're really starting to see come online. I think that it's important that we have buildings that are able to withstand fire and water and wind and pests and mold and mildew and breathe, you know, and be carbon negative. There's so many more things that can be done. I mean, BMW makes the inside of their car doors with hemp fiber and, you know, all sorts of things. Henry Ford made an entire car out of hemp plastic and it ran on hemp biodiesel in 1940. So what are we doing in 2025 now, basically banning it out of existence and hurting a lot of people in the state of Alabama? So I would like to ask you, you know, how do you feel about that?
Well, I'm one that's going to support hemp. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll make it
yeah.
I'm supporting hemp and cannabis industry, and I think it belongs under Department of Agriculture.
Right.
With consumer safety and farmer opportunity in mind. With the hemp and cannabis industry offering numerous opportunities for our Alabama farmers, but only if we regulate them wisely.
Yes.
I support moving oversight of these crops so we can develop clear, consistent, farmer-focused values that prioritize public health, quality control, and economic development.
Yes.
We need to end the confusion of uncertainty. That's driving small farmers and local retailers out of business.
Yes.
I want to work to establish fair licensing systems, ensure lab testing for product safety, and create guidance and help farmers diverse without burdensome costs. At the same time, I believe in strong consumer protection, so Alabamians know that the products they buy are actually labeled and safe. My approach imbalances opportunity with responsibility, create an environment where small and minority farmers can participate in this new market, not be shut out by corporate interests or unclear regulation.
Right. I think if you look at the medical cannabis industry in Alabama, 4 years in, the big corporations are the problem here, and they're suing each other into oblivion. And meanwhile, the rest of the, you know, my friend Antoine, who's a cultivator, he mm-hmm. has had a cultivator's license and paid for it twice, and cultivated an entire crop that he cannot move. He can't sell it. He can't make any money. And money makes the world go round. He had to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to even get in the position to have this license. And now they've been all invalidated. And that program, to me, is a national embarrassment. It hasn't helped anyone, including the people involved in it. And it's certainly not helping patients. So that fell on us. We were the only products that people had, plant medicine that people had. I'm really, really tired of it being trivialized. I'm really mm-hmm. tired of legislators accusing us of only wanting to get people so stupid high that they have a psychotic break. They have no concept of what actually happens in our shops, what people actually use the product for. It's ironic because they've done away with higher potency products that people with cancer, MS, Parkinson's, chronic pain actually need. And the only products that are left are ones that can be just used recreationally because no one can afford to buy 7 cans of lemonade every time they need to medicate at $12, $15 a can. That's not feasible. Plus, it's gross.
And
most of them are not made for health purposes, so they've got 42 grams of sugar in them, which also exacerbates things like cancer and inflammation and pain and dis-ease, disorder, and discomfort. So it's actually the opposite of what they said they were doing is what they've done. And as I said in the beginning, you know, Representative Witt says, oh, he hasn't heard of any stores closing. He's welcome to call me. In fact, I'd like to invite him on the show. I would love to give him an opportunity. I won't say a word. I would love to give him an opportunity to explain himself to callers, real people, real voters, real consumers, and explain what in the world he thought he was doing. You know, I think he did someone else's bidding, and he's going to catch the brunt of that. But, you know, I do agree that this is an agricultural commodity, and it should be right in line with the growing and the processing. You know, when we come back from the break, we're going to finish up this very important part of the topic with Dr. Deidre. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now, with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama, everybody. We're talking with Dr. Deidre Willis. I want to say, just before we finish our conversation, Dr. Deidre is hosting a farm expo this Saturday, July 19th, from 9 a.m. to noon at New Market, Alabama. There will be a moon bounce, vendors, food trucks, line dance, speakers, including me, Mandy Ledkins, who was here last week running for state senate, Marty Shelper from the Alabama Cannabis Coalition, and a bunch of other people. And, of course, you get to meet Dr. Deidre. So if you are in North Alabama this weekend and would like to attend, please join us. And that, again, is Saturday the 19th from 9 to 12 in New Market, Alabama. If you need more details, we'll have that posted on social media, and you can reach out to the show, and we will let you know what you need to know. So, Dr. Deidre, I do have a question from a listener. What would you do as ag commissioner to regulate and oversee the hemp industry?
Educate. The number one thing, yes, we need to educate everybody on what it is, what it do, what we do, and why is safe.
Right. I like to say what it is, what it does, how it works, how to use it, and how to consume responsibly.
That's right. Education is number one.
Yes, I agree.
And, you know, you got to educate everybody.
Yes.
So it's like we'll have different workshops to where we can do a meet and greet at the Capitol in Montgomery and say, hey.
Right.
You know.
I would love to be able to help facilitate any of that. I know a lot of people like me who have been doing this a long time. I know farmers and processors, chemists, people that are experts at this. We would love an opportunity to get to help the Ag Commissioner and the Ag Department be able to reach the people and help facilitate those things, host things, have you come and let's help carve out some education for legislators, for law enforcement, for public safety, for the Attorney General and the governor, whoever that ends up being next year. You know, everybody in Alabama needs to have a basic understanding. That's the entire point of this show has always been what it is, what it does, how it works, how to use it, because that's the only way to really change hearts and minds and take the fear out of it. I think this year we learned that they will continue to fearmonger, but unfortunately for them, they're the only ones who don't have a good enough understanding of it to be afraid. The people of Alabama, and if you've ever watched this show, they're not afraid. You know, they have a good understanding. They've had 7 years of experience with these products, and it's normal now, and it's not as easy to fearmonger. So, I mean, you know, we talked about needing new legislation, because HB 445 has just decimated everything from the farming on down. Because if there are no retail outlets and no one distributing, then there's nothing for these farmers. There's no one in Alabama to sell their crops to. And even then, the hemp crops that are available to be grown in Alabama are not the same as in every other state because we can't grow THCA flower here, things like that. And we've taken away whole methods of consumption. That is not the way. That's not going to keep anybody's kids safe because the kids are buying it on Snapchat from some jerk in a legal state, you know, and they're getting, that's where they're getting the Lifesavers and the Skittles lookalike products because no one in Alabama sells anything like that.
That they don't know because they haven't asked us.
That's right. They don't know. They don't. And I think it's incredible that they would set out to either eliminate or severely restrict an entire industry that is generating income in this state and that is helping people. They know it is. And not know a single thing about it. You know, I read an email from Marty Shelper to Representative Witt where she said, here's an example of how to properly pronounce the word cannabinoid, because he couldn't. And if you can't even say the words or know what the terms mean, then how can you make a decision for millions of people based on a lack of knowledge? You know,
right.
We perish for a lack of knowledge. Isn't that what the Bible says?
That's right.
People will suffer because of a lack of knowledge. It's not a lack of knowledge within the hemp industry, certainly not amongst the people. It seems to be that there's just a lack of knowledge in Montgomery.
And, you know, it's crazy because at Alabama State University, they had a whole certification class on it.
Yep, yep.
At UAH here, they have a medical.
I know UAB did a study using giving CBD to premature infants to help them thrive, and it was a great study. Auburn has is part of the pilot program. This is not new. This is
not
new.
Not at all.
I know that SB 393 in 2016 tells us all we need to know, and it was voted for unanimously, including by Senator Melson and all the rest, because Alabama wanted to be on the forefront of the hemp industry. They wanted to set the standard. They wanted to be the innovators. And now they're saying, well, we didn't mean for consumption. That was just for rope. We don't buy it. They gave licenses to people to grow for consumables. And then they oversaw and licensed people making products for human consumption for 7 years. And now they said that that was an accident? I don't believe that.
No, I don't either. Data talks.
And the lack of data talks, too. Thank you for saying that, because none of the things that were said in this session, not one thing that was said was backed up with data. And we asked.
That's right. Because I think if they had actually shown the data and how well it worked, it would have been no thought about it.
Well, if they had read the thousands and thousands of emails from constituents all over the state, if they had actually opened a few and read them. But then again, this isn't really ever about the citizens. I think the trend here, especially in this session, revealed it in many, many laws that were passed that were not good for the people of Alabama. They were good for industries. They were good for private prisons. They were good for the alcohol industry, immunity for the police, all sorts of things. But nobody in the state of Alabama that is a citizen is better off today than they were at the beginning of that session.
That's right.
And I think that's the real travesty. How many, I know you have, but how have you met many people who have used the products and benefited from them?
Yes, ma'am. And boy, has my inbox been blowing up.
I bet. Well, I hope that's good, because I know that the people there have been waiting to hear from you in a way like this and really get your take on this, because we are so desperately searching for someone with some sense who can read and spell and, you know, Google, basically. I mean, that's a pretty low bar. You're a teacher. You've obviously done your homework. You know what you're doing. Your hands are in the dirt. I commend you for wanting to take this on. You know, I have people ask me if I'm going to run for office all the time. I don't want to run for office. I will if I have to one day, but I don't want to do that. That's a huge uphill battle in this state, and I really do commend you for being willing to put your neck out there for the rest of us and to be so vocal. I've met so many great candidates for office in the last several weeks, and it gives me hope because so many people in Alabama just do not have any hope. Tell us where we can find more information about your campaign.
You can go to www.drdeidrawillis.com, or you can meet me on Facebook, Dr. Deidra for Commissioner, candidate for Commissioner of Agriculture and Industry.
Yes, and you're on TikTok, you're on Facebook, all the things, on LinkedIn, all the things. So go and do your research. You know, that's we're big on research on this show and in this industry. Go and learn it for yourself, just like the Bible. Read it for yourself. Go check her out. I could say she will show up. She will do what she says, and she will answer your questions very happily. And that is too rare in the state of Alabama, especially when it comes to politics. Thank you, Dr. Deidra, for being willing to talk to us tonight. Guys, like I said, go check out Dr. Deidra Willis if you're at if you want to come to the Farm Expo, join us. I'll be there. Lots of people will be there. Get to know her and get registered to vote. Thank you so much for being here tonight.
Thank you for having me.
And as always, you can find us here every Monday night, 7 o'clock for Sweet Home Canabama. We may not have a store left, but we're here still fighting. We're gonna call them on the carpet and make them answer for this. God bless you. And God bless Alabama hemp. Good night.